South Africa faces a fifth day of severe power cuts. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Anu Anand. Good morning. South Africa's troubled state-run energy firm Eskom provides more than 90% of the country's power. The impact of Cyclone Idai in Mozambique, which has killed more than 200 people there, has added stress to Eskom's aging network of power stations. The BBC's Victoria Craig has more.
Eskom says it's working around the clock to return more capacity to its battered network. It's under increasing stress after losing electricity imports from a cyclone-damaged hydroelectric system in Mozambique. The company has asked customers to turn off all non-essential lights and appliances, but the power cuts have caused wider problems around the country. Traffic lights have gone out, water systems are disrupted, and businesses without access to backup generators have been forced to discard perishable goods. Energy analyst Anne Fruhoff of Teneo Intelligence says the impact on residents is massive.
The average commute, which is already very long, becomes even longer by hours. People get home to dark houses. They're unable to cook. Their neighborhoods are less safe. At hospitals, emergency services are even less efficient, or longer surgeries might cancel.
South Africa's aging network has suffered from years of underinvestment and mismanagement. In an effort to fix the ongoing problem, last month the government announced a $5 billion bailout of Eskom, along with plans to break up the company. But Ms. Fruhoff describes why new power plants haven't lived up to expectations.
They are extremely delayed. They're over budget. They have design flaws and functional flaws. So in a way, South Africa has spent billions on new power plants that aren't delivering electricity as they should.
All of this, she says, means Eskom and South Africa are now paying the price for a decade of unchecked corruption and governance. In London, I'm the BBC's Victoria Craig for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. Shares of Bayer are down more than 11% in Germany after a jury in the U.S. found the company's Roundup weed killer was a, quote, substantial factor in causing one man's cancer. BMW shares are also sliding after the company warned pre-tax profit could drop 10% next year. It says costs are driven up by stricter emissions regulations, currency factors, and international trade conflicts. Speaking of which, the U.S. and China could hold another round of face-to-face talks next week, according to reports. Though China may bristle at one development from Taiwan today, its president has confirmed his country made a formal request to buy advanced F-16 fighter jets from the U.S. The BBC's Cindy Su reports from Taipei.
President Tsai says it's time for Taiwan to acquire the more advanced F-16 Viper fighter planes to improve its defensive capabilities. Its current fleet is at least two decades old. One local report says 66 new fighters have been requested at a cost of $13 billion. If President Trump approves the sale, it would be the first time in nearly three decades that Washington has agreed to sell fighter planes to Taiwan, and it will be one of the biggest U.S. arms sales to the island. Beijing will most probably be infuriated by the deal. China sees Taiwan as its province, first taken by Japan under an unfair post-war treaty in 1895, and then ruled separately since the nationalists fled there at the end of the Chinese Civil War in 1949. Beijing sees U.S. weapon sales to the island as emboldening Taiwan to pursue formal independence and as standing in the way of its goal to reunify with the island one day. In Taiwan, I'm the BBC Cindy Hsu for Marketplace.
10 days till Brexit, and European Council President Jean-Claude Juncker said this morning that a decision on a delay is unlikely this week. Well, let's go to Northern Ireland, which remains at the heart of divisions on Theresa May's exit deal, and hear from Dr. Katie Hayward, a Brexit expert at Queen's University in Belfast.
Businesses in Northern Ireland during the referendum were quite quiet. In the last 6 months or so, we've seen a big change in that. And I think it's really because of anxiety around the uncertainty surrounding Brexit and the possible implications of Brexit for businesses here. Northern Ireland is an interesting place because it's really a meeting point between Ireland and Great Britain. This has been a problematic one in the past in terms of conflict. And through the peace process and through the process of European integration, Northern Ireland has been able to do well by being a part of the UK, but also being very closely integrated into Ireland. People are concerned, therefore, that the process of Brexit reverses that.
So in terms of trade, who does Northern Ireland trade more with, the Republic of Ireland or the rest of the UK?
Definitely with the rest of the UK. Northern Ireland's economy is quite underdeveloped. So it's only in the past 10, 15 years or so that it's really been improving and beginning to expand its export markets. And Ireland is a key place for that. So about a third of Northern Ireland's exports go to the Republic of Ireland.
Many people say that this crisis, if there's no solution found between the UK and the EU, that it could trigger a referendum where people could vote for a united Ireland. Would a united Ireland be more prosperous, do you think?
In the Good Friday Agreement of 1998, provision was made to say that if a majority of people in Northern Ireland want to be part of a united Ireland, then the Secretary of State, the person responsible in the British government, would enable a referendum for that to happen. This has led to a lot of interest to see, well, is there a change in Northern Ireland towards having a majority for that? The indications are at the moment that no, there isn't. But what we are seeing is a rise in the proportion of the Catholic population in Northern Ireland who have traditionally wanted united Ireland. Nowadays, that's not just about politics. That question of the economy is also there. And some people are thinking that maybe it would make economic sense for Northern Ireland to be part of a united Ireland and, of course, therefore, to be part of the European Union.
Katie Hayward, finally, London police have confirmed the arrest of Indian jeweller Nirav Modi. He's accused of having fled the country owing $2.2 billion in loans. It's said to be India's biggest banking fraud, and he'll be produced in court today to face extradition hearings. In London, I'm Anu Anand with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.